Howdy, brethren. How many glad to be here tonight? Oh, I am so grateful to be here. God knows I don't take it for granted. I am honored and thrilled to be here. Thank you for the wonderful place that we have to stay. Thank you for the great meals that the pastor has provided for us. We're so thankful. Thankful for your fellowship. What a thrill to know that there's churches like this standing for our Lord across the land. Lord, help us be faithful to Him. I remember years ago, I started preaching when I was 17. And I was reminded of that getting up here on the platform. I thought there was a time I would run up and down that platform and run across and go just about anywhere I want. But now I calculate where I'm going, how I'm going to do it, and things like that. But what a privilege. I had a friend of mine. Well, really, he worked in the cotton mill with me. He was a Pentecostal fella. But I believe he did love the Lord. I met him one night. I was coming in for second shift. I was going to school in those days. And he said, "Brother Jimmy, Sunday, I had a time." He said, "God bless me." He said, "I was preaching." He said, "They put one of those microphones around me that had one of those long cords. You've seen them, haven't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "The Spirit of the Lord got a hold of me," and he said, "I took off a running," and he said, "I got to the end of that thing, and it jerked my head back, and I fell down on the ground." He said, "I got up, and I jerked it off." I said, "Don't you folks ever harness me down like that." Well, thank you for this, not harnessing me down. I probably couldn't run anyway, but bless you. If you have your Bibles tonight, thank you for paying attention to the Word of God. John chapter 14, old familiar passage of Scripture. Would you stand with me just a minute, please, if you don't mind? And I'm going to have just a moment of prayer. Father, help me, fill me with the Spirit of God. Your word says that if we be in evil, and we are, but if we know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will you give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask thee? I know he dwells within me, but I want him to possess me, to use me, to help me, to be completely controlled by him tonight. Open our hearts, our minds, and may the Spirit of God have liberty. Thrill us with the Word of God, and may your Word speak to us. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Still standing, you don't mind. By the way, I am so grateful for a church where a brother can stand up and testify when the Lord leads him. Isn't that wonderful that you have that freedom? Now, no one tries to take over a service, but I mean, something's on their heart. Isn't that great that they can do that? All right, let me read verse 1, 2, and 3. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Thank you. You may be seated. I want to bring a message this evening on this subject, the trip we're all waiting to take. we that are saved. This address was given to the disciples the night before his death. He shows great concern, not for what he faces, but he shows great concern for the fears and the sorrows of his disciples. And he sat them down and taught them about the rapture. Now, the rapture, the word rapture is not in the Bible. But it's a great word. Here's what it means. To rescue from destruction and danger. To transfer swiftly. To claim eagerly for oneself. To carry away by force. That's pretty well telling us what's going to happen when our Lord comes again. Now, there are several things I want you to see tonight. The first is evident, the place to where we're going. He says there in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. Where are we going, preacher? We're going to a real place called heaven. It's not the fictitious. It's not an active mind inventing something. I mean, heaven is a real place to where we're going. When I was in school, they told me not to spell heaven with a little H. I had to disobey them. I hate to be a rebel about this, but heaven's a real place. I had to spell it with a capital H. Every time I spelled heaven, when I was talking about where God is, heaven. Now, what's the Bible say about heaven? Well, it's called a country. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Now, the word country speaks of vastness and largeness. It's called a city. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Now, folks, the word city implies that there are inhabitants. The world would like to, for us to believe that heaven is an uninhabited place. Very few people are there. Hey, there are millions upon millions of people going to be there in heaven. It is an inhabited place. It's called a kingdom. 2 Peter 1:11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A kingdom shows us that heaven is a place with a king. Heaven is a place with order. And then heaven is paradise. Jesus told the thief, dying beside him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's endless delight. But I think I like this in my Father's house. My wife and I travel a good bit. But there's always our home. Home speaks of permanency, and home speaks of a place that we love to be, amen or not. Now, I love to travel. I love to be in meetings. But there's something about home that makes a difference. Now, heaven is a real place. Thank God for that, amen or not. Now, you know, folks, let me tell you something. We are settling down too much. The old time saints used to sing, I feel like traveling on.
And if we sung the truth many times, we'd sing, I feel like settling down. Yeah. Oh, yes, we're going to heaven. But we're not in any big hurry about it, excited about it. Hey, folks, this wonderland of gadgets and deep freezes and push-button living may be all right for you, but it's not for me. I'm looking for a country. Now, number two, are you with me? This is very important. Not only is there a place, but preparation has been made. Look in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, what does prepare a place for you? Now, some think that Jesus is still in the carpenter's trade. He's walking around heaven with a hammer and a nails, apron and a saw. And every time someone gets saved, he builds them a mansion. That's not so. Let's read that again. In my Father's house, what? Tell me, somebody. Oh, yeah, they're there. they're there. Our Lord is never surprised by who is going to be saved. And he has prepared for that even before coming to this earth. They're there. Prepare a place. What does this mean? It means three things, and this is so important. It means that he went to make preparation for his people that we would have a safe trip to there. Number two, that when we get there, we will have perfect acceptance before a holy, righteous God. And thirdly, there will be a delightful welcome because he has prepared a place for us. Now let me ask you a question. Where is the blood of Jesus Christ tonight? I heard someone say it. Huh? In heaven, that's right. Let's turn and read it. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now look at verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. You know where the blood is tonight? Before the mercy seat of our God. And that blood prepares a place where you and I may stand before a thrice holy God and be accepted because of the blood that has been shed and taken to heaven. Brother, it was not spilled. That blood's incorruptible. It's at the mercy seat. I think you remember when Jesus came out of the tomb, Mary saw him, and what did Jesus say to Mary? Touch me not. Touch me not. Why? I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. You see, when a high priest offered up sacrificed a lamb and took the blood, and he was on his way into the Holy of Holies, nobody dare touch him. Mary, touch me not. I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. So he took the blood, placed it at the mercy seat. Are you with me? He came back. He said, put your hands in my wounds. Come on now, amen or not. Don't touch me. But now, put your hands in my wounds. Why did Christ take his blood to heaven? Because God's people must have a premise whereby they can be assured they can stand before a thrice holy God and be accepted, amen or not. I'm saying it's the blood. It's the blood that gives us a place where we can stand before a holy and a righteous God. He's going to prepare a safe trip for us. When Jesus, according to Hebrews 4 and 14, passed into or through the heavens. He went through the atmosphere, stratosphere. And you know who is the prince and the power of the world? You know where his kingdom is? In the air. Our Lord is going right through his kingdom. Not only through it, he stops. He stops. Satan must have said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the throne of God. He said, you can't go through my domain. He said, don't you tell me I can't. I've got the blood of God's dear lamb here in my possession. Don't you tell me I can't. And Satan said, who are all those with you? He said, I stepped yonder in Abraham's bosom. And all the Old Testament saints were ready to go. But the blood had not been shed. But now I am ushering them into the very presence of God Almighty because the blood has been shed. Don't you put a hand on one of them, Satan. He delivered captivity captive. Amen or not, brethren? Let me read you Colossians 2 and verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Openly. It's a Roman phrase. The first thing that a Roman general would do when he conquered a city was to go to the prisons, release all the Roman citizens, put them beside his chariot, and march right through the city and dare anyone to put a hand on them. Don't you see that's what Christ is doing here? Taking the Old Testament saints, because the blood has been shed, the blood has paid for our sins, he's taking it to heaven, and the Old Testament saints have access. Because of that. And he places it, as Brother Leonard said, at the mercy seat. Hallelujah. That blood at the mercy seat is a guarantee that you and I are going to have a safe trip to there. Are you listening to me? Number two, it's going to It proves that you and I are going to be accepted when we stand before a holy God because of that blood. Amen or not? And thirdly, there'll be a delightful welcome. Let me illustrate it this way. In the Old Testament, the priest would sacrifice an animal and take the blood and go through the holy place, go into the Holy of Holies. And once inside, he would sprinkle 7 times on the ground. And then he would step on that blood. And that gave him access to the very presence of God Almighty. Do you see what our Lord is doing? Taking his blood, presenting it before the mercy seat, so that you and I will have perfect acceptance when we get there. Amen or not? Not stuttering, not saying, Lord, have not I done this or did that? No! But the blood is a guarantee that we're going to be accepted. Hallelujah. Number 3, are you listening out there? The passage. Look again. John 14. It says in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and, tell me somebody, receive you. I like that. I looked up receive in Webster's Dictionary, 1828. It means this: to obtain from another, to embrace, to welcome. You see, the Lord is going to receive us in the sky. But from earth to there, the sweet Spirit of God is not going to let us get out of His care, not even for a second to be caught up. Amen or not? Our Lord is going to receive us from the hands of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Are you listening to me? Even from earth to the air, the Holy Ghost is going to make sure that we're protected until He receives us. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and you know this, but I like it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 through 17. Are you there? For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now notice this. The Lord himself will shout. He comes after us. In our church in Brazil, in my study, I would wait with a nervous groom for the arriving of his bride-to-be. And when she arrived, they would let us know and we would come down she would be escorted by her dad down the aisle. He would slip down off the platform and meet her and receive her from the hands of her dad, escort her back up to heaven. Now, our Lord is going to do exactly that. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when I got married, I went to see Dr. Seidler. I said, Dr. Seidler, Nancy and I want to get married. He said, good. I thought he was going to say, well, Brother Jimmy, we were not going to have a church wedding. We didn't have all that money. I thought he was going to say, Brother Jimmy, I can marry at my home. But he said, Brother Jimmy, we're having this, we believe, revival. And I'm preaching it. He said, you bring Nancy on Saturday night and sit in the back. And he said, after the service, I'll marry you and Nancy. First time I ever sat in the back in my life, I think. I was afraid something was going to happen to me sitting way in the back. I was scared to death. But I did what my pastor said. And I'm telling you, that night, it got on. They shouted. They shouted. I didn't think they was ever going to marry me. I mean, they shouted. One would run that way, another run that way. And I thought, great day in the morning. This is great, but I would like to get married too. But I went after my bride myself. Her family is all at church. I had a 51 Chevrolet. That thing never started. Everywhere I went, I parked this way or that way so I could crank her. And so I pulled up in front of her house. And I was afraid to turn the thing off. And I know this is bad etiquette. You young men don't ever do this. I did the worst thing you could do, but I didn't know anything else to do. I kind of beeped my horn. Beep, beep. And she stepped out on the front porch. And I thought, great day in the morning. She's going to marry me? Woo! Hallelujah. My, what beauty. I took her to church. And in all that meeting, I sat there. Then I said, well, no use of just sitting here. I might as well get in on this. I saw four young men that were there. I went over and asked them if they were saved, and they said no. I said, would you like to be? And I took those four. Hey, that's a good way to get married, amen or not. Took those four young men down the aisle, and they got saved. But what I'm trying to say is that I myself went after my wife. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. Hey, he could sit in heaven and say, come up hither, and we'd go. But he comes down. There's going to be the voice of the archangel. I like this. Why? What's Michael doing? I tell you what he's doing. Michael is a battling angel. Who was it that battled over the body of Moses? Michael. Who was it that released Daniel's prayers after 21 days? Michael. Who will it be that will put the dragon down from his throne in the air in the middle of the tribulation period Revelation chapter 12, Michael. What's he doing in the rapture? I believe he's marshaling all of heaven's angels to come down and stand by. Something's going to happen. I believe that you're going to be raptured, and the first thing we'll see is our Lord, and then thousands of angels with swords drawn, daring a demon, Satan, to put one hand on us. Amen or not? He's there! The voice of the archangel. The trump of God. I'm allergic to trumpets. Whew. I had a fella preaching in my church one time in Brazil, and I was sitting down in the front. He said, "Now close your eyes, everybody." He said, "Close your eyes." He said, "The Lord's coming back." Talk real soft. Reached over and grabbed his trumpet. And boy, he blew that thing. We have a concrete ceiling about 6 meters high in the air. I just about went through it. When he blew that trumpet, the Lord is going to send, and the trumpet will blow. By the way, at the last trump, then he's going to receive us. He's not going to take us. Somebody's giving us up to the waiting bridegroom. Amen or not? The Spirit will hand up the bride unto him. And we will meet him, notice this, in the air or in the clouds. I mean right in Satan's domain. And I can just see our Lord say, "Look at him now, Satan. You criticized. You told me all things that Jimmy Rose did. You told me all of his faults. Look at him now." Look at all the bride of Christ as we stand there. Amen or not? Glorified. And Jesus, I like this, right in Satan's domain will exhibit his bride. Satan has browbeat us. He has kicked us. He's pulled every dirty trick he could on us. But aren't you glad one of these days, thank God, right in his domain, our Lord is going to exhibit his bride. Hallelujah. Well, there's one other thing I got to tell you. Now, when I say one other thing, that doesn't mean I'm about through. You found that out this morning. There's the place, the preparation, the passage, and then the promise. He said, "I will come again." Amen. He's going to come, amen or not, brother. Jesus is going to come. I'm going to have to, so I won't preach all night, you folks jump over some of these outline pages. He's coming. Hallelujah. Maybe dark, rainy. Some say it's foolish to look for Jesus, but he's going to come. He's going to come when you least expect him. And what a day we're going to have, amen or not. When we first went to Brazil, 1962, in those days, no one ever called the United States. They never called you, as for a long, long time, we never even had a phone. You went there to stay, to do a job. But then we sent telegrams that we were coming home. We told them what date we was coming in. We told them what plane we was coming in. We flew into Miami, across the ocean, landed in Miami, got on another plane and went to Atlanta. Man, you always have to go through Atlanta. You can't even go to heaven without going through Atlanta. Came to Atlanta. We missed our plane to Greenville. They were paging Jimmy Rose. And I went to a place to answer the phone. It was my brother-in-law. I hadn't heard his voice. He hadn't heard mine. In over 4 years, he was so excited. And he said, "Jimmy." And I said, "Yes." And he screamed out, "Jimmy!" I think he was trying to holler all the way from Greenville to Atlanta. And I said, "Yes, Albert." He said, "Tabernacle's here. The family are here. See, we're the first missionaries to leave Tabernacle Baptist Church out of our church." He said, "Everybody's here. You didn't come in on the plane we expected." I said, "Albert, it'll be about 45 minutes, and then give us another 40 minutes. We'll be there." He said, "All right." I said, "Tell them we'll be there." And I'll never forget, we had to sit separate. The plane was full. I had to sit up front. My wife and children sat further back. And that plane started landing over Greenville, and I saw buildings I hadn't seen in 4 years. My heart got to beating. I looked out as it touched down, and over at the gate I saw, looked like a multitude of people. Their hands were lifted up in the air. They were happy. When the plane finally came to a stop, I was the first one to get off because I was sitting right there in front. I stepped up to the door. And when the door opened, my mother-in-law, she just didn't care where she shouted. She raised both hands and said, "Whoa, glory to God." Boy, they were shouting. Our loved ones were saying to the kind lady that was keeping the gate, "Let us go meet them. They're coming down off the plane. Let us go meet them." She said, "I can't. It's against rules." Said, "We haven't seen them in 4 years. Please, let us go meet them." And finally she said, "Oh." She dropped the chain. And halfway out, they met us. Our loved ones. Hugging and kissing and welcoming us home. Members of Tabernacle were there to meet us. That's how it's going to be when we get home, brother. I got a good number of friends on the other side, amen or not. They're saying, "Lord, let's go get them. Let's go get them." He said, "Wait just a little bit. Let's go get them." Then he's going to drop the chain. He's going to come down. And we're going to meet in the air. Won't that be a blessed time? Thank God for that. I was preaching in a large storefront building in capital city of Belo Horizonte. Minas Gerais, Belo Horizonte, the name of the city. I was preaching, I guess the building was about this long, these two pews together, I guess, maybe a half of one of the other pews in width. They had a red curtain all the way across. It was a makeshift church, a cement floor. Building was packed that night. And just before I preached, they brought a man in to me, and they said, "Brother Jimmy, this man used to be a priest, and he just got saved. And he said he wants to talk to you," and I sat down with him. He said, "Preacher, what do you think? I could go back to the convent." And he said, "I could lead a lot of my friends to the Lord." I said, "No, you don't want to camouflage yourself. You just come out from among them, be separate." He sat there, never had been in one of our services before, sat on the very front. And all of a sudden, I was preaching on the coming of Christ. And I was a lot littler then. I mean, a whole lot littler. Had that red curtain there. And I yelled out, "He's coming! He's coming!" I said, "Look up!" And everybody looked up and I dropped down. And I dropped down behind that red curtain. Cement floor, you could have heard a pin drop on it. I crawled to the other side of that large auditorium behind that curtain, so they couldn't see me. And then all of a sudden I stood up. And when I did, they said, "Phew." I mean, here's a fella preaching about the coming of the Lord and said, "Look up and he's gone." "Look up and he's gone." That poor fella that was a priest, he was white as a piece of cotton, white as my shirt. That night. But that's how it's going to be one of these days. Amen or not, brethren? Thank God he's coming. Let's look for the Lord. Wait for him. Long for him. Are you hungry to see him? Are you hungry to see him? I am. I've got a dad and a mother. The other side, my wife's mother and dad, brothers, some sisters. I'm waiting to get home. It won't be long. Are you ready for this? I will come again. Please be ready. Shall we bow our heads in prayer, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Heavenly Father, we undoubtedly have failed to tell it like it should be told. But I'm so grateful for the rapture. I'm so grateful that you're coming. I want to look for thee. I want you to come. Lord, I would welcome your coming, even if we don't finish this revival. Please come quickly. Take us home. We're hungry to see thee. Thank you for your promise. You will come again. You've never failed. You never went back on one promise. And you won't that one. Help us tonight. For Jesus' sake.